News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Joined now by Francis Fitzgerald, former Taoiseach and, of course, advisor to the G7. And she's with us to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not have seen and to give analysis on some of those that you have. And we start with the story that the new retirement age rights are to come into force next week. This seems to be a bit like the legislation in respect of working from home. You're allowed to ask not to retire, but your boss can say, tough luck, we're retiring
well,
you anyway.
A bit more complicated than that. You can say your contract says you have to go at 64, 65. You actually now have a statutory right to stay until you're 66. So until state pension age. But if you're over 66, you don't have an automatic right to stay and your employer doesn't have an automatic right to tell you you have to retire. He or she has to make a case why you should retire.
So, and if they make an insufficiently bad case, it's workplace relations.
You can stay on, yes. And there have been quite a few cases in the courts and tribunals where you have to prove that it's necessary for the person to retire. You know, it's a proportionate decision, balance in the workforce and so on like that, health and safety. But this is important because some contracts would say you have to go at 62, 63, 64. You can now automatically stay, but you do have to notify your employer that you want to.
And the only exceptions are where it is written in law, the retirement age, like the Gardaí.
It's the Garda Síochána and the Defence Forces. So an interesting new piece of legislation.
In other news, Micheál Martin should step down this year, say Fianna Fáil TDs, MEPs and senators. This is a survey of that group and the general consensus seems to be he has till Christmas.
Well, that's what I think 59% of the party that they surveyed, which is 51 of the 70 members, say. So this speculation is going to go on. But no surprise here in the sense that you would not expect the Fianna Fáil party to call for him to go when the Irish presidency of the EU is about to start in a few days' time. But all bets are off when it comes to the end of the year. But he has said he wants to stay on.
Why do they want rid of him? I mean, I know there's been a lot of discussion. There's been a couple of things like the presidential campaign where there was an immediate bubbling up of annoyance. But what guarantees do they have that Jim O'Callaghan or Derek Leary or anybody else is going to do any better?
Well, they don't have any guarantees, do they? It's rarely about that, though. It's normally about the dynamics in a particular party, a few decisions that maybe go wrong, like the presidency decision, an election result like Keir Starmer, the locals. He had a huge majority coming in. And bad local election and suddenly people want him to go and there's an alternative now. Sometimes it's about an alternative. Leader is a much better chance if there isn't a strong alternative. And right now in Fianna Fáil, there's a number of names, Derek Leary, Jim O'Callaghan and some other names.
Which, of course, there wasn't a couple of years ago. There is more of a momentum around the possible...
Potentially, yes, potentially. But it's a very good question. You know, is the alternative going to be good? Jim O'Callaghan, they say, quite aloof, but very bright. And people like to think he has star quality. But, you know, you still have to prove it. And Dara is seen as a safe pair of hands and so on.
And will Micheál Martin feel aggrieved by all of this, given his electoral success compared to the doldrums?
He's well used to it, isn't he, Anton? I mean, this is the role of leaders anymore. You rarely get away, you know, apart from a honeymoon period for about 6 months. I've lived through about four or five leadership heaves and they're very unpleasant in parties, to say the very least. The dynamics are incredible. You know, careers are shredded in one meeting. Our careers are made by what's said, who you align with and so on.
Well, while we're on that topic, what's your prediction for Keir Starmer this morning? Gosh. He's due to make an address. Is the address going to be goodbye?
It seems to be, doesn't it? But, you know, he has this determination within him to fight on. But the numbers are being stacked against him now. And he's very loyal. I think it was the employment secretary came out yesterday and said he was thinking about this in Chequers over the weekend and sort of reflecting on the reality, he said. So yeah, it's tough after
you know,
such
you know they talk
a
about
win.
Momentum in politics. Once the US president is saying publicly that you're done for.
Well, you know, that might turn people the other way. I mean, it's so crazy for him to come out before this any decision and to say he failed on energy and immigration, I think he said.
That's it, yeah. And open North Sea oil in block caps with exclamation marks.
Yes.
Jeremy Clarkson's daughter has come out to echo the cancer test plea that Jeremy Clarkson is making. He says that he is in remission, but his plea about the cancer test is interesting. He said, among other things, that even if you are asymptomatic, you should fake symptoms just to get your doctor to test you.
Oh, I didn't pick up that bit. Yes. Well, I mean, obviously the PSA test is really important. And I think it's great that he's come out and spoken about it. He said because he went early for the test, he's now in remission and he's sharing stories with David Cameron and other well-known people who have prostate cancer. And he's saying, I've seen so many people die of cancer. It doesn't bear thinking about what it must be like to live knowing that an illness is going to kill you. And he talks about Chris Hoy. So I think the real public health message to men is to go out and have the test done. And he's repeating that, and so is his daughter.
Yeah, and he cites the story of David Cameron saying that people come up to Cameron in public and say, he actually says they come up to him mainly, I think, in public.
I've spotted that. Public conveniences, public not just in public.
Well, odd place to start a conversation. But when they do start the conversation, it is to say, because you talked about this, I decided to get tested and I wouldn't be knocking around if I didn't.
That's right. If you hadn't owned up to it, I wouldn't have got checked and they wouldn't have found it. So real public health message, I think, to men who often are very nervous and embarrassed. He says it's not uncomfortable, it's not undignified, and it's a no-brainer. I did, and that's why I'm sitting here talking to you in typical Jeremy style.
Now, in one of the weirder headlines of our times, two baby giraffes who went missing from a Virginia zoo a year ago are found safe. To lose one baby giraffe, Francis, is a mistake, but how do you lose a giraffe?
Well, there's a little bit more to it. It turns out there was an investigation into animal cruelty going on in the zoo. And these were baby calves, which I think are probably big enough as well, but they did disappear. So I think the owners didn't agree with the investigation and various animals went missing. And the Office of the Attorney General, can you imagine that happening here? The Office of the Attorney General has now said they have been found safe and well.
After
no
a year.
Details, but they are now getting treatment and medical attention and behavioural support.
I know this is an unusual question to ask you, but have you ever seen a baby giraffe being born?
No, I haven't.
The mother doesn't crouch down. The baby giraffe enters the world by dropping 6 feet onto the ground. It's a hell of a way to start your life.
But survives, obviously.
Well, they seem to. I mean, there's more giraffes knocking around. Francis, thank you very much. Francis Fitzgerald, 53106. If you want to get in touch, you're 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.